Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Thank you for the opportunity of being able to present this to you today. The project has been underway for about 5 or 6 years now, and the current situation is we've made an application to the Town Planning Board for the approval of the development, and that was rejected at the Section 16 stage. But on the 20th of May, we're going to make a presentation to the Board to respond to some of the reasons given for rejection. And I'm aware of the difference between the Board and this committee, and I don't want to duplicate the process. Instead, I just want to highlight a couple of issues which I know the Board has been looking at, the committee has been looking at from time to time, and these may be just useful for you. The site was previously zoned industrial, and the Town Planning Board has rezoned it to a special zoning relating to cultural, commercial, leisure and tourism uses on the harbour front. And the intention is that this area on the Quarry Bay waterfront become a node of interest and attraction and activity. And that followed basically in accordance with the government's harbour plan. And you'll see the area in the centre here, which has been identified as an action area. All of this area at one stage was the subject of a proposal from the applicant to try to bring this part of Quarry Bay into some form of permanent development. It wasn't carried through completely, and we're now looking at what's going to be happening only on this portion along the waterfront itself. The actual OZP at the moment has zoned a strip of open space along the waterfront, and it has two sites. One here is the OU2 site, which we call Site 2, and OU1, which is this area here. The applicant owns this piece of land here, and as you can see, it's been changed to a zoning where it's limited to open space on portion, and on the remaining part, it has this special tourism-related zoning. So the intention of that was to firstly prevent the applicant from building an industrial building on the site. The existing lease, and they also had an approval for an industrial building, an industrial office building, and they also under the lease have an opportunity to build a pier which is to be serviced by oil barges, because part of the purpose of the industrial lot is to accommodate oil containers and storage. So the intention of the original use of the land is considerably different from what is there at the present. With this proposal, there's got to be a complete change to the way this whole portion of the waterfront is to be used. It's to become a destination for residents and tourists. It's to be a harbourfront area. And obviously, we come back to the original intention of bringing the people to the harbour. Now, the client has had this concept, which he has pursued for the last 7 years, of bringing back to the waterfront some of the types of buildings that used to exist in Central, and to recreate on the waterfront a bit of character, something which is going to be interesting not only for the public but also for visitors to Hong Kong. And one of the reasons for doing it is that this site is not a good site. It has a very bad location in terms of accessibility, and it's very, very restricted in the size of the site. It's also very long. And so each of the sites, Site 1 has been divided into two buildings, and we see one of the buildings here is a four-star hotel, and this one here is a combination of retail and entertainment uses. And the buildings have been based on previously identified buildings on the waterfront. They obviously can't be the same because the old buildings had completely different configuration, but basically because of the shape of the lot. The second site, which is located to the east, also has two buildings proposed on it. One is a cultural centre, and it has in there an art gallery, a museum, a theatre, as well as restaurants, and also another building which is a combination of retail and entertainment uses. And so these are the proposals that are currently before the Town Planning Board. Now the site, as I mentioned, is very long, and the top image on here, this is the hotel building on the west, and this is the cultural building on the east. In between, there are two GIC facilities. They're an event building for the Island Eastern Corridor, and they're also an electricity substation. And these have been, we've taken the view that there should be some continuity of character and concept along the whole of the waterfront. And so we're proposing to erect a facade on the front of these buildings so that there's some continuous activity of a similar nature along there. If you're walking along there, it looks like you're in a place which is very much the same at either end and in the middle. Our landscape plan, and the applicant has proposed to develop the whole of this as one comprehensive development. And we have areas of open space, piazzas, which are created within the hotel mixed use, around the GIC, inside between the mixed use and the cultural area, and then on to the right-hand side. And then connecting into the main part of the existing Quarry Bay Park, which exists along the waterfront to the east, which is on the right of this drawing. Now, what I'm going to do is show you some of the images of those piazzas. Part of the proposal is to connect across the Island Eastern Corridor to the existing park, and the footbridge would land at the top of this staircase here. So we have this grand staircase, which would bring people down to the waterfront, and then it would create a sense of arrival as they come down, and there would be a water feature in the center of it which would add to the ambience of the whole area. It is not a standard government footbridge coming across a six-lane highway. So we're trying to create something different there. This is another piazza in the center, again creating space and gap between the buildings and trying to provide high-quality landscape and environment. Again, between the other two buildings and the OU2 site, another space is created there. Along the waterfront, the Town Planning Board specified that there should be a 10 meter walkway promenade. In addition to that, we're proposed to set back the buildings within the colonnade to provide an additional 3 meters of covered walkway. And this becomes the focus of the activity along the waterfront. Similarly, there'll be landscape walkways, pedestrian walkways around the buildings on the other side, but that's facing the Island Eastern Corridor, and obviously the amenities are not quite the same. Now, if we look at the existing Quarry Bay Park to the east, this is the quality of the park, and it's excellent. It's probably the second best waterfront promenade in the whole of Hong Kong. I think the best is the new one that's been completed on Tsing Yi. But as you walk towards the west, towards our site, things start to change. You see the barges on the end of this image. They're the ones that are located on the location of the site at the moment, where the temporary uses are located. Now, most of these temporary uses are government uses. Now, if we get a little bit closer, you see here on the top left-hand image, the fence is there to protect people from going to what's called a gas pigging station. The image on the bottom left indicates what's inside that, and to get the connection through, the government proposed that the fence be set back 5 meters to provide the connection along there. At the moment, the only way for people to get along is on the top right-hand side. Where people actually walk along that waterfront to get past this area. On the other side, there's the at the bottom, there's this 1 meter gap between the railings and the structure of the flyover. It would be possible to go through there, except for the fence that's blocking people. Now, if we go to the other side and look back, the one on the left-hand side is looking back towards that same fence, which is preventing people coming through. And again, the one on the right, it indicates the barrier that exists from the other side. And that's the entrance into the gas peaking station. But if we turn around immediately, this is what you see. This is a government contract site. This is site two. This is where the cultural building is proposed. And this is the problem that we have with this application. The government, one of the reasons for rejecting the application was that it was not capable of being implemented because the government need these sites for continued temporary use. One being for barge handling and one being for the HAT study. If you go through, the whole of this area is covered by uses like this. And this is your waterfront. This is also in site 2, where there's a contractor has used in the site for temporary parking of vehicles, for storage of construction equipment, and for loading onto barges. In the middle, these are the two utility buildings which we're trying to hide on the other side, on the seaside, and create a plaza on the front of that. On this side, there's very little that you can actually do. To the west of those two buildings, there's a piece of vacant land, and as usual, it's fenced off, and public can't get any access to it. This is the site of our mixed-use retail entertainment building in Site 1. And in the background there, you see the barge handling area. And this is CEDD's public fuel barging point. And in response to our application, CEDD have said that they want to retain the use of this site for another 2 to 3 years, which is the equivalent to the construction time that we would require for the development. Going onto the street, you can see the effect of having this barge handling area there. This is the applicant site, and at present he can make no use of it. Part of it is zoned open space and part of it is zoned for the tourism uses, and so he's using it as a public car park. This is the salt water pumping stations nearby. And next we see the public access to the waterfront. And this is the extent to which people go through. They're actually connected across by a board so they can get out there under the flyovers to carry out what people are trying to do all along the waterfront to enjoy it. Now, one of the other problems is we have also a requirement from the HATS that they want this site, as illustrated here, for approximately until 2012. And this effectively will stop any of the development going ahead in this area. What we have proposed is that there should be a priority given to the use of the waterfront. If you look to the south where the words Eastern Harbour Crossing are, all of the uses within that are also temporary uses. And we have proposed that the HATS Temporary Works could go to that location there. Or if not, they could go up to the right-hand side where there could be the O2 site, our site 2. If you look at the temporary land uses in the area, that's what the government has for temporary use at the moment. And the ones in the center of the water of that access to the harbour crossing are used for car parking, a public car park, for a contractor's site, for the FEHD transport depot, and for the police vehicle pound. Now, to me, these don't get a priority. If you're supposed to be developing the waterfront, you have a proponent who's prepared to spend the money to do it, then that's what should be done. This part of the park has no program in terms of the government funding for it to be implemented. So this will be sitting there for some unknown period. And we're suggesting that this is where the HATS location should be. This is an image showing what would happen to the applicant's particular site if it was to be developed. Considerable improvement over the existing situation. And this image is an overview of what could happen on the site, including the pedestrian connection across, you can see on the right-hand side, the bridge leading across to the existing completed part of the Quarry Bay Park. So why we have brought it to you is the fact that we have this situation where a permanent development, which is in accordance with the government's harbour plan, in accordance with the zoning on the plan, is being frustrated by these continuing government uses along the waterfront. And from what we can work out, there's competition between the government departments as to who should get which piece of land. and there seems to be no mechanism for deciding how this priority should be determined. It seems to be whoever gets to the Lands Department first can get a temporary use for whatever period is required. And so, Mr. Chairman, that's basically our presentation. If you've got a way to solve our problem, we'd be very grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brownlee. Comments, questions from our members? Paul, please.
Ian, what is let's see if that works. What is the status of that park in the middle of the entry to the tunnel, and how important is that to make this this plan really work?
This one in the middle.
Yeah, the one in the middle. Yeah.
Within the circular area, it has. It's the last phase of the Quarry Bay Park. This portion here. From what we understand, despite pressure from everyone, including the district council, there is no proposal to develop it. And you can see the portion that is being covered now. That is the parking area for the FENHD depot.
So who owns that land? Is
it it's all government land.
It's Lands Department, or is it LCSD already?
No, it's just temporary allocation to government. All by Lands Department. All of these yellow sites are under some sort of temporary use.
So my question is then, how important is this to make your site work in terms of access from the living areas to the waterfront?
This part of the park has been developed, and what we're proposing is that this bridge connect across, and that will complete the walkway system around the waterfront. So this is not important at all. Now, sometime in the future, government can develop this central area for the continuation of Quarry Bay Park. But in terms of the waterfront, the two things which I think are important is that there should be the continuous access along the waterfront so that the public can actually get through, which it can't at the moment. And the second thing is to enable at least the development of this site go first to get the project underway. It seems to be a real shame that if there's someone who's able to develop it, and it's also the landowner who has lost all his development rights basically through the zoning of this for harbourfront enhancement, then he should be able to get on and do the alternative which the government has given, the Town Planning Board has offered to him as a result of objections and rezonings and so on.
Yes, Paul.
Chairman, may I propose that the HEC asks the government to respond in due course as with respect to the entire site. I believe that the proposal here makes a lot of sense. Definitely the plans look much better than the current status, and these temporary harbour front uses are the ones we have questioned recently in our HEC meeting. I believe it was myself and Mr. Greg Wong who have questioned the ongoing uses of these fantastic sites for these incompatible applications such as construction sites, car parking, storage of sand and other materials. So we can if we could proceed accordingly.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, just want to ask the applicant, when the OZP was rezoned to OU and O, did applicant object to this rezoning or amendment to the outline zoning plan first before you put in this Section 16 application? And then when I saw this kind of zoning in the outline zoning plan, actually it's more or less in line with the thinking behind the concept that you put forward. So how do you like foresee the implementation problems of this site?
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, the objector did object. Now, the applicant wasn't objected to this scheme. Firstly, because his site was obviously quite severely affected by the extent that's now zoned open space. Secondly, there's a 35-metre height limit on the left-hand side site and 25-metre limit on the right-hand side. In his proposals to government, to the board originally, they were looking at something like 80 metres in height where he could rebuild something like the old Hong Kong and Shanghai Bank building. There were objections from other people, including district councillors, who said that 35 meters was too tall. And it, in the end, the board decided that the height limits should remain on both of these at 35 meters and 25 meters. So having been through that process, what the applicant has now done is try to submit an application which is going to conform with the planning intention and the restrictions on the OZP. And that's what he's now doing. This application basically conforms with most of the points, and then hopefully in May we'll be able to address the remaining ones with the planning department and the town planning board. But the issue would still remain. They've said that the application is not capable of being implemented because of the need for these sites for temporary use.
Any further question, comment? Yes, please.
Chair, I share Mr. Zimmerman's view. I think certainly that this is a creative way of looking at a very difficult piece of land. I think there's another, Mr. Brownlee's talked about implementation challenges. He's talked about the temporary use of the site, but I think land policy is another challenge, if I'm not wrong, Mr. Brownlee, is it not, that your client only owns a small portion of the site. So I imagine the way forward for government would be to put this site out to tender, and your client would have the opportunity to bid with other people. Is that the...
I think my client's attitude is that if he could develop site one, which his site is partly within, he'd get a similar amount of GFA to that which he lost out of his industrial building. If the government are able to negotiate on that basis, then he would be quite happy to proceed with the implementation of Site 1. Site 2 is obviously completely separated, not part of his land, but whatever happens, nothing is permitted on the site unless the town planning gives approval first. So what we're saying to the board is, here's a concept, here's an amount of development on these sites which complies with your restriction. If you approve it, then we can negotiate for what we can with Lands Department, and the remainder can then be put up to public auction or tender, and then we have an opportunity to also be part of that process. So we do recognise that there's this problem with lands with the land administration policy.
I just ask a question on a separate issue, and that's the question of access. Mr. Brownlee rightly said bringing the people to the harbour. We've got this pedestrian bridge which would take people over the corridor. How else would people get to the site? Mr. Brownlee,
I'll just try and bring this around.
Sorry.
Yeah. There are various... There's no particular point that people are likely to come to the site from, other than predominantly along the waterfront. And we think that will be the main thing. And the... You see the people at the moment using Quarry Bay Park, they get to the end, they've got to turn around and go back. We think that the other second most important is to provide the connection between the open space on the waterfront and the open space on the park. But once you get to there, the pedestrians will disperse into various directions. There are two MTR stations nearby. There's also a pedestrian link along here. Perhaps you'll see when the district council make their presentation about how they'd like to extend the link further on. So pedestrians will also go off here to the east, which basically brings you back to where this building is. So they're the fundamental ways that people would move around and through the site. But we do expect a large number to come by vehicle as well, particularly to the hotel.
Winston, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, that is some information that I would like to seek from government officials related to this proposal. How does government... I think government have departments have studied this plan or proposal. How would the planning department respond in terms of building height and urban design issues? And how would the transport department respond to the traffic so generated? So I would like to listen for a preliminary view from the government side before I make further comments.
Pascal and colleagues, we do understand this case is before the town planning board, so whatever you know, preliminary view or you feel comfortable in sharing with the members, you know, that by all means.
Thank you, Chairman. As the Chairman rightly pointed out, this case is still to be considered by the town planning board in May under Section 17 of the ordinance. So I think there is a limit to what I can say and what I can commit. But in terms of height and design, this matter actually was discussed by the town planning board as part of the objection hearing process. Because the proponent actually has early on submitted a development scheme to the board, and that scheme actually was discussed fully by the board, and the board actually was attracted by a lot of the merits in the scheme. But on the other hand, there were also a lot of comments from the locals, particularly the district council, emphasizing the need for compatibility and also the need to reduce the scale of the development along this stretch of the waterfront. So eventually, the board took a middle-of-the-road kind of solution. So in other words, endorsed the land use concept but reduced the building height and also the density along this stretch of the waterfront, which as a result faces another side. And this is why there is this continuous debate between the proponent and also the district council. As far as the height and design is concerned, I mean, the requirements are already set out in the outline zoning plan, and this is why the proponent is trying to stick to it, despite the continuous objections coming from the local community. I think this more or less is the background. When the board considered the original application, obviously the board set out quite a few technical concerns, which I think have been relayed to the proponent, and this will be the subject that the proponent will try to convince the board on May the 22nd. Regarding traffic, actually this is one of the areas of concern by the board, which I think the proponent will have to address at the hearing stage. So I believe this is the background, and I don't think I can commit more than this at this stage, because rather than preempting what the future decision of the board would be.
Chairman, can I follow up? Yeah, thank you, Chairman, and thanks for Bosco's very useful information. From an architectural point of view, I think, I agree with most members said that the current situation of that part of the harbour is not very, approving or attractive. And I would say any development or any upgrading work of that area to remove the existing temporary use, mainly used for utilitarian purposes, should be disposed and replaced by more attractive design that attract the local citizens and tourists. So in general, I appreciate the proponents in sort of looking beyond their own sites to propose a very vibrant and attractive waterfront. The concerns that I would like to make is in fact within my questions to the government. First is related to the density. I think density is a concern because the purpose of having a vibrant waterfront does not necessarily mean a dense development, right? You do not need to put all buildings along the waterfront. And of course, there would be traffic concern, and I'm not an expert in traffic, but looking at this from my practical experience, I think that there is a lot to be further studied for developing a density a development density like that, particularly if you have a hotel development put along that area. My other concern, well, it could be a very personal concern, is related to the concept of old Hong Kong in terms of an architectural language. Because we don't have this building today, and because we choose to demolish all of them. But at this point in time, do we really need to replace this building on another lot which is built in 21st century? There are famous architects call this, the local architect call this as fake antique, 假古董. Do we still need to put in, well, the 古董 are gone, right? So do we really need to replace this in another place, which is actually not the real antique? So, well, say others, having said that, I do not mean that I am anti-development. Right. However, well, I would like the proponent or even the community to rethink if we are doing some buildings today, those are gone. So whatever, however you imitate, it is still fake. So some architecture in modern language can still make a waterfront a vibrant environment. So to summarize, I appreciate the proponent's intention to look beyond their site. And I understand that there could be problem in the land ownership issues. So, but I think an overall planning, an integrated planning of the whole district is encouraged. And concern on the density of the development. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Paul?
Just before we wrap up on this point, Chairman, I notice that you're planning to do that. I would like to make a few points. One is the pedestrian linkage that is proposed in the proponent's proposal versus the one in the government's harbour plan. Government harbour plan has a pedestrian deck, which I think would be better than a skinny pedestrian access as proposed from Quarry Bay Park by the proponent. Even better would be a tunnel taking people under through the road with a more similar to the tunnel that we have in Central to give people better access to the waterfront. Having people walking upstairs and across little bridges is not very convenient to provide pedestrian access. The second point that we also stress from a harbourfront enhancement is how the site will help enable people to use the harbour, other than for the ability to walk along it and appreciate the view, but actually to get on and off the water with boats and vessels, marinas, and other ways, piers. We know that there is an issue with the issue of the overriding public needs and the reclamation for piers, which we address later on today. But I think it's critical that as this is a harbourfront site, that there should be some functionality to provide access to the water for people. And those are the two main points I'd like to make. And Chairman, I have one question. If this is going to be a town planning board very soon, will the minutes be available on time for the town planning board to understand the feedback from this committee in their deliberation?
Mr. Chairman, can I just comment on the pier? Obviously, at the moment, the applicant can develop a pier under the lease. What we have proposed is that there be an option for a pier to be constructed, so that the main entrance area would be that in the vicinity of where the staircase comes across, and the pier would be located here. We haven't proposed a pier as part of the application because we have enough issues to deal with at the moment, and we don't really want to get involved in the issues related to a pier. But if the development was approved, and if there was a lease to be modified or negotiated, then the applicant would be looking to have a pier, and it's not one for oil barges, but for people. So that, and we would propose that this be a public pier constructed by the applicant to fit in with the general theme, and it would be available for any vessels to come there just like any other public pier. Now, we don't think it's desirable. We think it's essential that that access be created. There's no public pier anywhere along the Quarry Bay waterfront. In actual fact, that in terms of the scale and the activity, there's nothing else along the waterfront there of any interest other than basically green open spaces. So.
Thank you, Yen. The minutes of our this type of briefing, normally, as I mentioned earlier, will be made available on the website, and for all those who are interested in following up on the discussion at these briefings. And we also have a number of town planning board members here, so I guess, you know, the people will be aware of all this discussion through the website and through some of the discussion I've been. Yes, May.
I have a few points just to add to the comment just now. First of all, I think I'm a bit disappointed with the ratio of green space, sky space, and shore space and leisure space of the proposed development. Seems like majority of it is being structured, pro-structured, and also covered, you know, areas. So I think as the relevance to the HEC about public enjoyment and public access, I think there would be need to really reinterpret the ratio of green space, sky space, shore space, and leisure space. My second point is about amenities, priority use of the site. Definitely, I sat on the other committees which look at the HATS program, which is a Victoria Harbour sewerage planning program. Definitely, there is some urgent need and priority need for certain kind of public amenities. But whether that is a suitable location for it is also arguable. But then, my point is, amenities and community leisure space could coexist by creative planning and creative design. Some, you know, of our, you know, community leaders have went to France to look at incinerators and, you know, refuse transfer stations. They are designed like concert halls or, you know, community halls, which can be looking much better, much more acceptable. Number three point is, as a linear shoreline strip of land, I hope the proponent really would really sort of balance, you know, leisure space, fitness, linear parks, you know, having that stretch of, you know, run space for public could be considered. My final point is, having a museum or whatever, you know, you could even dock an old junk to present your maritime museum theme rather than built on land again and then structures again. We need some kind of innovative, you know, planning and design. Thank you.
Then you may want to respond, or you want to just take note of you know, comments by each of your members, whatever.
Yeah, we just take note of them, I think, Mr. Chairman. I mean, those points have been raised by other people. In fact, in one of the previous schemes, there was a large vessel to be moored off this area as an attraction, but that was not seen appropriate by Marine Department. But I mean, there are all sorts of things. But I'd just like to make one point in response to what May said. To the right of this image, there's a large expanse of green open space. There's nowhere along the waterfront to sit down and have a cup of coffee or a restaurant until we get to Lake King Wan, which has actually got a road between that and the waterfront. So, you know, I think the way the board looked at this when they decided on the zoning, is this is one space where it can be different, where there's not so much green, there is building, but there's attractive and interactive space of a different sort. And it's the variety along the waterfront that's as important as the green space. Thank you very much.
In the interest of keeping time, I suggest that maybe we better move on to the second item of this afternoon's agenda. Thank you, Ian. Thanks for coming.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.